Malta.
Evening. Evening. Good evening, Malcolm.
Evening.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh, okay.
Malka, do you know what's causing it?
No, I don't. The chirping kind of sound, huh?
Well, it's a little stronger than just chirping, but it seems to have stopped, so.
Are you punching keys?
Say again?
Are you punching keys on your keyboard?
No.
Huh. I don't know.
I'm going through some emails and deleting them after I read them, but I'm only punching one key, and that's infrequently.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be that. Anyway, it stopped, so hopefully it won't start up again. Hopefully somebody else will come on.
I know. Usually I'm the one lagging behind.
Not all the time. Sometimes the others do.
Hi, it's Barbara.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Okay.
So?
Yesterday, my daughter called with an emergency, so that's what happened there.
No problem. I believe somebody else just came on as well.
Uh-huh, Randala.
Good evening, Brandy.
Good evening.
So, our class tonight is section 35. And I believe we start. Actually, it's section 34. We already did section 35. It's section 34, and we're starting at Pasuk 360. And we'll start with Elisha and Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabrihu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urhimu Utkilu Utkilu Urhimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bavate Beyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Adonai Elohino Elena Maaseh Yadenu Kananeh Elena Maaseh Yadenu Kananehu That's the 360. Anamar Rabbi Elazar Bichilat She'ata Kamayata Belelia Kadnasha Yamama We'al Shimsha Mare Demachtechan Imanan Al Shimsha Al Bitre Sar Starin Iftichin Bimama Batar Bial Bekalho Kalinun Starin Satimin. The translation. Rabbi Elazar said, as we have learned, at the beginning of the first hour at night, when the day is blown away and the sun goes down, the keeper of the keys, who is in charge of the sun, Memtet, the governor of the world, who draws the light of the sun down to the world, enters the 12 gates that belong to the sun. These gates are open during the day, which is the secret of the 12 hours of daylight. After he has passed through all 12 gates, meaning after the 12th hour is over, then all the gates are closed, meaning that the dominion of the day has ended and the time for the dominion of the night has come. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. And this pasuk is transitioning to a different subject, although we will eventually tie things together within the section. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Mentet has the keys to the 12 hours of the day. So who has the keys to the 12 hours of the night?
We'll discover it in another section, in another pasuk.
Okay. All right. And gates, I guess maybe we need a discussion as to the gates. What is gates?
It's a good question. You see, throughout the Zohar, you see the word gates.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think a gate is?
I'm thinking that it's the tree of life, vessels, the Zeram pen, basically.
That's not a gate. That's not a gate.
Okay, what is a gate?
Well, in your house, do you have a gate? Going into your yard, do you have a gate?
No.
You know people who have gates to their yards?
Yeah.
So what is the difference in your house or in our nomenclature? What's the difference between a door and a gate?
Difference? Well, they do the same kind of function, I guess.
They do.
Keep things out of sin.
They do two things. They do keep things out, but they also keep things in, as you said. A gate is in a garden. It's a door to a garden. A door.
Okay.
Typically, we can see over the gate. We can see into the garden. or we can see out of the garden to see the street. A door is closed. In a house, you would have a window to be able to see out it outside. Whereas a gate indicates something that is stopping you from movement. There's a restraint on the movement, but it's not complete because you can see over the gate. We wouldn't normally call a gate that was 15 feet tall a gate. We would call it a fence. Now, why is the Zohar saying gate? And it, as I said, it uses it frequently through this, because the gate's purpose is to separate between the garden, between the different sephirot, between different aspects, but it allows us to see over the gate, but it limits the movement between the dimensions, between the domains.
Right.
And in the Talmud, there's a lot of sections and discussion about the domains. There's a public domain and a private domain. And you can carry on Shabbat in the private domain, but you can't carry on Shabbat in the public domains. So those kinds of regulations are related to what this verse is telling us. The word gate is establishing a boundary, but it's a boundary that allows vision. It allows you to see over it or under, maybe even through in the spiritual level. But it does bar movement between the domains, the different sections. But the gate can be opened. Remember, we were told to put a mezuzah upon our gates as well as our doors. And why are there 12 gates? Isn't daylight always the same? When you go from 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the morning, you've gone through two gates. Do you perceive that the hours of the day, as an example, are the same? Or are they two different boundaries? Are they two different dimensions? Are they two different aspects? And we learn in the study of Hebrew astrology, the method or the progression of the various planets through the hours of the day change. So when the 10th hour comes, it might be the planet Jupiter who's in charge on that particular day. But on the 11th hour, the 12th hour, it would have progressed from Jupiter to Mars. So the gate is defining separation, but it's not complete separation. Now, there should be a lot of thoughts and questions on what I've just said, but they're also it's not easily to express those questions, because we don't think of a day or daylight as being separate. The sun rises and the sun sets. And here we're being taught that the sun rises, and every hour the energy is changing.
Right. I can see that. So why isn't there total separation then? You said there's separation, but not.
It's an excellent question. Why isn't there a total separation?
Because it is two different aspects. It's in the same 24-hour period, but different aspects.
Well, you have the, in a 24-hour period, you have day and you have night. You have light and you have dark.
Okay, let me.
But the gates is on a different level. The gates are within daylight. You have 12 separate energies.
Mm-hmm.
And these energies, the question you're asking is why don't human beings perceive the different energy as we go from one boundary to the next, from the hour of 10 to the hour of 12, or the hour of 11 as an example. Why don't human beings sense the different energy? And the reason is because it's a gate. But that's not the full reason. The full reason I truly don't know, but I can guess, because the gate represents a separation within an overall frame of reference called day, and that the human beings don't have the need to recognize that separation. To be aware of the change of the energy of the hour. If we were aware of the energy of the hour, then our focus and our attention would never be longer than an hour. We would have to accomplish whatever we were going to accomplish within that hour. Because the next hour, we would sense a different energy, and we would know whatever our process was, whatever our goal was in that hour, was over. But our goals go longer than hours. They go longer than days. We set a goal and we go through that process of generating the goal, achieving the goal. But the Zohar is telling us that the energy changes every hour. But we don't have the sensitivity, the mechanism, to determine what is that change. When is that change? That's my guess, my understanding of why it's called gate and not door. If it was a door, there'd be a clear separation between the two energies of the day. Or the 12 energies of the day.
Okay, but don't you think people really do sense that in the fact that some people, if you ask them, they say, oh, I'm a morning person. And some people say, I'm a night person. And I think it's because the energy that is given off all through the day builds up. And then when it turns night, it starts to build down. And I think that people sense that.
They may sense that. But that also could be the circadian rhythm of the brain. So it's not that they're really sensing the hours on the spiritual level of the change of astrological influence. They're following the circadian rhythm that's built into the human body.
Well, what about, I know a lot of times I may not have a watch with me, and I'll go, oh, well, you know, it's 2:30 or 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock or something like that, and then I'll walk around the corner where there is a clock or a watch, and whatever I have thought, that's what time it is.
That's correct. But why are you doing, what are you really sensing about that?
I am always
able to know within 15 minutes of the time that I'm in. But why is it 15 minutes and why isn't it exact? And I can tell you the reason I know 15 minutes within a quarter of an hour of the time. Somebody asks me the time, I'll say it's approximately X time, and I'll be within 15 minutes of it. It used to make my kids crazy. How could I do that? But it's really observation. We live among so many different watches and clocks that if you glance at something, it's a watch on somebody's hand, and you're reading it upside down, and you see where the hands are, and you know. Or you see what the numbers is on the digital clock. You're inundated with information that we don't really identify. But I don't think we have a very... Look, a woman is more sensitive to cycles. We understand that. And a woman is very sensitive to her cycle, her personal cycle. And even after menopause, she's sensitive to her personal cycle, but not quite as sensitive. But that cycle is based on a week or a month. It's not based on a day. That sensitivity is built into her, but it's not like she has a sense that she can be exact. That's my opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. You have to think about it. Right? You may very well be right that we do have the capability. But why do we sense? So I'm a morning person. Well, does that mean that I get up at noon? Or is it an expression that when I get up, I'm tired? That I didn't sleep well, or I don't know how to sleep well? There's clearly an adage, I'm a morning person, but what is the meaning? Where is it coming from?
We have to think that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people, when they tell me you're a morning person, or a night person, it's like, well, I have more energy in the morning, or I have more energy at night. I'm a night person. I have more energy at night than I do in the morning.
Is that a function of your body's sugar? Have you tried to have energy in the morning by changing your eating habits?
Yes.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, what is the cause of that? I'm asking, what is the cause of that? And I agree with you. People will say, or they'll know, that they have more energy in the morning or they have more energy at night. Question is why? Science tells us it comes from the circadian rhythm.
Oh.
They don't tell us what the circadian rhythm is. They just say that the human body has a cycle that's attuned to the cycle of the astrology, the cycle of the sun.
Hold on a
minute. There's a part of us that has an observer. And if you, the separation from night and day, you can be dreaming and your observer is aware of the physical dimension. And when you're awake, your observer can be aware of the other dimension. And like you said, the gate, you can perceive what's on the other side, you just can't interact with it. The observer kind of has that limitation. And in it, there is a different feel to different times of the day. And it, I am not sold on, even if it is your rhythm or all these scientific explanations, we are in tune with all of those cycles, with whatever energy is affecting us. That is exactly why we're affected. So to be your observer, I believe, can sense and be aware of the, you know, what's just beyond the gate, or what the feel of what's going on is right now. May not have a label to put to it. I think if we practiced and that was our focus, we could.
Well said, Barbara, that's excellent. The question I would have is the observer, the term you're using, your unconscious, or is it something else?
No, it's a part of who you are. It's a matter, you can, have you ever been aware of the fact that you're aware?
Yes, I understand that. This whole discussion, so it would take too long tonight.
Yeah, that would be your observer, you know. Just to change a habit or a behavior, you engage your observer to observe yourself.
In Kabbalah, the metaphor that's used comes from the philosopher Descartes. And what he said was, I think, therefore I am. But his second word is think. The first word is I.
The observer is aware of the fact that you have an identity, is aware of the fact that you're thinking.
Correct. And so the Kabbalah would say that the observer is your ego. But when we try and put it into the
senses,
the observer is sensing. Does the observer sense other than the five senses? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the little I that I am, that I am, I guess. I mean, we have a lot of egos, and your observer can observe your ego, but that doesn't mean it's not ego.
Correct.
Because anything that's a solid sense of course, but the observer, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good one, because I don't know that I have been inside my observer. I just am aware of what my observer is observing. You got me thinking. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do see what you're saying.
So when I have my sense of...
The purpose of this class is part of what you're thinking.
What?
Is the observer a verbal part of your ego or a nonverbal part of your ego?
I think that ego translates what observer sees. So it depends on where the ego is. The I am. The ego is the sense of self. So wherever you put that, that can go into all these different places. So, I mean, if you put your consciousness in your observer and you put your sense of self in your observer, shoot, you'd be astral projecting.
You know, these questions are not going to be answered by me for you. I can only ask those questions for myself. And our half hour is up.
So isn't ego's your sense of self, right? It's a part of you that keeps you together so that you know I am. I'm a here. I'm a me.
No, actually in Kabbalah, the ego is the satan that separates you from God. The ego
is... limited identity?
The ego is your identity.
Right.
It is your essence. It is your essence. Because right now, we are all one vessel in the endless world.
Right.
And yet, we are living physically in a separated form in the physical world. What separates us from being able to sense the ego, not the ego, what keeps us from sensing the endless world is the ego, because the endless world is essentially Hashem, and our ego is what keeps us from sensing Hashem. It separates us from Hashem. It's what keeps me different and separated from you.
Right.
But we are out of time. We are out of time. So we can pick this up Thursday. So we'll pick it up Monday, or we can eventually we will come back to it. But as you said, I'm making you think, and that is the purpose of these deep Zohar classes.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed this today.
Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom.
And we have a class at the 7 o'clock West Coast time that will be a regular Zohar class. And that the difference is I don't ask you your input, but I will answer your questions if you place it. But I basically just read the verses one after the other. Whereas this, we stop and we contemplate what is the verse telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.